This is a session from the Renew Spiritual Leadership Conference at Lancaster Baptist Church in June of 2014.
So I'm Kay Hesbin. I've been a member of Lancaster Baptist Church for 28 years. When Pastor Chapel came and viewed that service he talks about, where they were on vacation back in 1986, I was a visitor in that little teeny tiny room upstairs. We were looking for a church home. And came to Lancaster Baptist Church, and there was someone meeting in their auditorium, and they took us around the back of the building and upstairs to this little teeny tiny room with about 15 people in it. And I was a visitor that day that he preached, and then that night they called him to be their pastor. He came in July a few weeks later and moved here, and I had filled out a visitor card, and within a week of living here, he came and visited our home. And that next Sunday, my husband and my son visited as a family for the first time the end of July. We have been members since, and we've not regretted a minute of the journey we've had to travel 28 years in this wonderful place. And so I've been very blessed. I teach a ladies' class called the Ladies of Today. When I started 15 years ago with an adult class, I taught 10 years or more in children's ministry. My class was Career Women, which was the working woman. And since that time, we've kind of shifted. We do Stage of Life a lot. Now I teach a Stage of Life, starting about 2 years ago, over 50. Because when I turned 50 and my class was growing with us, we weren't young anymore. We were actually becoming the older 50 group, and so they changed my Stage of Life. I now teach ladies 50 and older. My oldest lady in my class is 82. She's very active. She does not want to attend the old ladies' class. And so she comes to my class, and I have married women whose husbands do not attend church. I have widows. I have single women, divorcees. I have anything and everything that's over 50 that's considered a lady or single. But I have many married ladies also still. So that's kind of where I have. Today's topic is a tough one, reaching ladies, single ladies. We didn't get a breakdown. So when you think singles, most people think the single life, the life of the person who hasn't married yet. Maybe they're starting life out and that single life. But we're not breaking it down into stage of life, because each of those itself is a lesson from the young singles that are coming up, looking for careers and getting established, into singles who have midlife, who for whatever reason have never married, divorced and are single again, into my stage of life with people who are now widows and who are alone again. And so there's such a variety of the topic of single women. So it was very difficult to try to find an outline when there's too broad of a spectrum for me to cover. So I'm going to deal with issues that are the same for every woman, whether what stage of life you're in. And I thought that was the best way to nail what we're going to talk about for single people. It's nothing new, and it's nothing different, and it's nothing that you would teach probably any other Christian woman that you came in contact with, because when it gets down to the bottom of what the issues of the heart and dealing with things on a spiritual level. And so we're going to kind of a real quick four-point outline with some thoughts in the middle that might be a help. Do any of you work or teach in a singles department? Are you single women? How many of you here are single women? Okay, you were. And so again, if you're helping with singles, I met someone that's going to actually be starting some singles work in her ministry. And so new people that started new classes. This is nothing new or innovative. I hope it's a blessing to get to the root of the problem and how to help single women today. And we'll look at some facts on that. Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would bless this class. I pray that it would be a blessing and encouragement to one that could take some things and glean some wisdom from it. I pray that you would calm my voice and take my cough away, and that we would be able to focus on the things that are important. We thank you for your goodness and your love in this place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Of all weeks to be sick, this has been my week. I have walking pneumonia. And so on top of it, I've had some major issues, and so I'm trying to get over my cough, but it's getting better. Okay, I got this. It's so funny. I just got this in the mail this week. It's terrible now. You know, my husband and I laugh. We're now the AARP group. It's a real adjustment for me to get used to being that old, but I am. I'm a grandma. and I love it. But I just got this week. I had a whole new thing on single life in the AARP. It said in 1950, 60% of U.S. families consisted of two married parents in a home. Today, only 20% of American children live in such a family. Because couples divorce or they never marry in the first place, they're forming these new households. Children are being raised now by mothers, fathers, siblings, and grandparents. The divorce rate has now been declining for young adults. Do you know why? They're not marrying. Which, of course, they don't say that in the article, but that's why the divorce for the young adults, the pre-baby boomers, we're the baby boomers, the group under us, the divorce rate isn't showing like it has with the older groups because they're not marrying. They're just living together. The divorce rate has been declining, but yet among boomers, which is my era, it has increased to the point that 50% to increased 50% in the last 20 years. And if it does not slow down, the baby boomers are likely to have the highest lifetime levels of divorce of any generation born in the 20th century. Wow. That's how fast the divorce rate is rising. Amazing, isn't it? In 1970, 40% of households consisted of married couples with their children. In 2013, 19% consist of married couples with children. In 1960, 72% adults who are married. In 2012, only 50% of adults are married. In 1960, 5% of births were to unmarried women. In 2012, 41% of all births are to unmarried women. I mean, those statistics are just phenomenal. In 1980, 12% of Americans lived in a multi-generational household, which is parents, grandparents, the generation. Today it's 17%, so it's even jumped a little bit since then. The home has certainly changed, and the life of a single life has certainly changed, hasn't it? We have everything from gay partners to single parenthood now to adoptions. A single parent with a child is called now family. An unmarried couple who has a child is now called the family. The same-sex couple with a child is now called the family. They, of course, renamed everything to make it be culturally acceptable. Single life is tough today. It truly is. And the challenges they have are really remarkable. Statistically, there are 96.6 million unmarried Americans over the age of 18. Bet we have a big population. Of those 96 million, 58% of them are unmarried women. That's huge. So we are talking about how to reach single women. There's a huge group of them out there. And you have to get out of the mindset. We're not talking just about that young girl coming out trying to find the career. We're talking about a wide spectrum of single people now. Older people, that friends that I know, are divorced now. You would never have thought they'd be divorced. Now they're single women. And so our mindset has to change a little bit. 11.6 million single parents live with their children. I told my children that. I said, now you be sure you have that room ready because, you know, we're going to be coming and living with you soon, you know. And they're like, oh, no. But it's true. You also see a lot now of children who don't leave the home, who stay longer and longer in the home before they actually go out for reasons of either divorce. Good friend in my class whose son divorced and he didn't know where to go. His wife kept the home and the kids. So he came back and lived with mom. He's 50 years old. So it's changing, isn't it? Single life is changing for that. There are 9.9 million single mothers today. Isn't that something? Then you have the online dating, don't you? You have magazines that hit them. You have 2,500 online dating services in the United States. And that's the thing to do. They meet online. Some of the, and maybe they are successful. You know, you pray that they will be. But then there's so many horror stories on the other side of the spectrum of online, meeting people online. But it's the new and going thing for every age. I have women in my class who are online trying to find a man. I mean, it terrifies me. You know, it's just, but it's the thing. It's the thing to do. You know, it's internet, it's access, it's easy, it's in our homes. Worldwide, there are 8,000 competing dating sites worldwide to reach single people. Isn't that phenomenal? So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the basics of today, not just this single life, but single life in the broader scope. I hope I can not disappoint you about single life, but we're going to look at some things that are just basic. How do you approach single women? What do we need to do to get them on track with the Lord? How do we involve them in our church ministry? How do we involve them in church? How do we help them? They need help. Now, I don't deal with a lot of young singles. Like, again, my stage of life is older women. But I tell you, I look at them and think, do you think you're 25 again? You know, it's like they're reverting back because they're alone and they don't like it. They're making decisions on their own and they don't like it. And so sometimes desperation makes you do silly things and foolish things. We need to focus them, how we can be a help to them spiritually. So we're going to look at a couple of simple things here. Seeking a heart for God. They must seek a heart for God. Before you can face any day, you must begin with God. We seek a heart for God first. Luke 6 tells us, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart is what the mouth speaketh. So we need to get to the heart of the matter. We need to help them. Let's start with the heart. How can we help these single women of all ages of life who are struggling? Psalms 139 says, search me, O God, and what? Know my heart. So we want to get to the heart of the matter with these women. We're going to put them first, we will eliminate the worries and the fears of their day. Understand where they are. Fear of responsibility, being alone, jobs that don't satisfy. They say over 50% of working adults hate their jobs. Oh my goodness, it's no wonder no one stays in the job with that many years behind them anymore. The fear of peer pressure, social party life is growing rampant. We've been taught that you can have sex with anyone at any time for any reason and do it safely. They are fear of loneliness, making decisions alone, and trying to connect with friends to fill their lonely hours. I have women who are widows now, recent widows, and their struggle is they have all this time on their hands, and it's lonely. And they're trying to reconnect with friends and help fill those lonely hours with things that we can help fill them with, spiritual things. Because if we don't do it, guess what? The world will. And they're pulling on them and they're struggling. We want to get them focused back to what's important. You must learn and understand where they are. What are their struggles they have? What are the fears that they have? And try and help meet those needs. And they are overwhelming sometimes. And the only place to take them is here. Mm-hmm. It truly is. I don't have an answer for your loneliness. I cannot promise you, and we'll talk about that in a minute, that another relationship is going to be fulfilling to you. But I can tell you a God that loves you, and he has promises for you. And if we read his word, he'll fill your loneliness, because that's what he does. So we have to take them to the word of God. You must challenge them in their everyday relationship with God, okay? Their daily walk, their prayer life. What are their devotional desires? What desires do single women have? And you need to get real with them, and they need to be real with themselves. We want to challenge them in their spiritual daily walk. Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you what? The desires of your heart. So we want their desires to be spiritually directed, because they're already struggling with the physical desires. I've watched 50, 60-year-old women make the most stupidest mistakes in their life because they're lonely for the first time and they don't like it and they go find a man. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And that's not the answer. And unfortunately, those remarriages and relationships, the statistics are huge because they don't succeed. Because they look for the wrong reasons, don't they? And we're going to talk about that. So you want to challenge them in their everyday life. Get real with them.
When I see one of my ladies struggle, I want to find out what's in her heart. How can I help her? What is she struggling with? What's pulling at her heart that kept her out of church this week? You know, what are the things she feels? And you've got to be real with them, because you must get to the heart of the matter. And you have to take them back to what is real and what's inside their heart. Next, they must find self-worth and contentment in Christ alone. All right? They must find self-worth and contentment in Christ alone. You will never find self-worth in a person. And you have to make them understand that, from the young to the old. Everybody has dreams. Everybody has what they think life should be and what they want their perfect scenario to be. And sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. And you must keep them focused that they are not going to be worth anything in anybody else but in Jesus Christ. That's where they'll find their self-worth. That's who's going to help them. Not a relationship, not a person, not a friend, not a mate, but Jesus Christ. And you must teach that, because until you teach them that their self-worth is in Christ, they're going to be looking everywhere for it. And they do need friends. They need to be connected with friends. They need all of these things that we're going to offer them, but that they don't get the point that Jesus is what's going to make them whole and complete, that then they're going to miss it because they're still going to look for the other stuff. So we want to take them and let them know that their self-worth is in Jesus alone. Only Christ will make us whole. Not one man, a child, a job, anything we do can make us whole like Jesus can. There's no question that God made woman to be fulfilled and the completer of a man, but all within God's will for them. I have friends today, right now, who are on staff who have never married, and they are older, my age and older. It was not God's will for their life. And we'll talk about that in one of my points. But they have to find their self-worth in Jesus, even though God created woman to be a completer. She's to complete her husband. But sometimes God's plans take a different direction for everybody. And you must teach them contentment in Christ. When the perfect plan doesn't work for them, they're not disappointed. Or they're not off on the wayside. Or they don't do crazy things and make terrible decisions. Because Jesus is their base. Their heart is right before God. And they trust him. And so whatever God has for them is going to be okay. And so you have to have their self-worth. Where is it? It says in Colossians 2:10, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." We are complete in Christ, not in anything else or anybody else. Psalms 31:3-4 says, "For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for my name's sake, lead me and guide me." He is my rock. He is my fortress. That's who I'm going to put my trust in. Not people, not relationships, because relationships just fall apart around us. It's just a sad state of the world we live in. We must keep them focused on spiritual things. Only Christ brings contentment as you are, not people. Okay? You have to be content. Now, there's that wonderful little word of content. Of course, everybody goes to Philippians 4:11. "Not that I speak of in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content." So God, whatever you have for me, wherever I am at this point of my life, I am content with it. And they must believe that. They must seek that and know that God is in control, and they must be content with where they are right now. The perfect plan hasn't worked for them, or their life has taken another direction. Divorce has happened, and they never. I'm helping women deal with things they've never dealt with before, finances and budgets, because they're divorced now, and they're doing everything on their own. And they're overwhelmed. How do I do this, and how do I shuffle this, and how do I make this work? Because I'm alone now. And we must teach them that they can be content right now, exactly where God has you. He will provide for you and meet your needs, and you stay right there with your eyes on Jesus and stay focused on him. And then when the hard times do come and pull at their heart and in their lives, they have a grounded trust in Jesus Christ. They must find contentment in Christ alone. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We must teach them. They must have peace within their life where they are right now. Whatever stage of life they are in, God knows where you are. God knows what has happened. And so you need to keep them focused on the things that are the most important. Third, here we go. They must learn to serve others. And I can't teach, I must probably mention it several times now here in the next couple of minutes, but service is an outlet to loneliness, to pride, selfishness, poor me. Why has this happened to me? Why did this happen to my life? Why am I single now? Why didn't I ever get married? Where's my Prince Charming? You know, whatever scenario you have, serving is the key. Because when we start to serve others, you forget about yourself. You forget about what you're facing. You forget about what you don't have and wish you did have. And you start to focus on people and you start to serve people. You forget about you. And you have to pull them sometimes out of their poor little world. Life was rough. It is hard. You are starting over. God knows that, and He's here for you. And now let's help someone else. And if we can do that, we can help them. Serving takes focus off of ourselves, doesn't it? And disappears, and others become our focus. Invest in others. Jesus others you. That's how we find joy, isn't it? Philippians 2, 5 through 7 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant." And we want to teach them to serve others. Invest yourself in someone else. Find someone you can help. You've heard a lot this week probably about our Love Works program that we did in the fall that was just overwhelming to probably everybody that was a church member besides our community. I learned more in that week about myself than I have learned in a long time. We went in, we're very blessed when the Lakes started a shelter this last year. It was brand new and he was just getting started. And he needed help with people serving breakfast, lunch, and now they even actually do dinner now, this much later, but we were doing breakfast and lunch for them. And they were just people on the street, people who didn't have food, didn't matter. If they came, he would feed them. And so we would, that week, my class, that's what my class decided to do as a class, is we would serve the shelter. And so we would go at 6:30, get the grills going, and we'd start cooking the breakfast. And the people started coming in. And I met a lady my age living in her car. And she got saved. Brother Lake led her to the Lord. And she would come and have breakfast. And depending on where she was, if she was in the area, she would come back for lunch. And then she would go to the other shelter. We have another shelter. And it's first come, first serve for a bed at night. So she would try to get over there at a certain hour. And that's where she would find her bed. And Brother Lake, you know, he tries to help everybody. We try to find homes for everybody. You know what? She had lived so long the way she lived. She didn't want a house. I don't know how to explain that, except that a lot of homeless people are that way now. But I learned more from that woman. I thought, you know what? I griped this morning because I couldn't find a shoe, or I couldn't get this, or I had to change my schedule for this. And I get there and I saw those people pour in with little bitty children that didn't have food for today. And I learned more about myself by serving those people than I have in my Christian walk in a long time. And so did my ladies. And they were single. And I have 5 single women right now who are everyday faithful servers at the shelter. That's what they do. They get up early, they go down there and they serve that breakfast. And then they go home, and some of them get together, and then they come back, and they'll do either lunch or dinner, and they serve people now. And you know what? I've watched them quit complaining. I've seen them love others, and their life has changed. I mean, serving others is the key. Help them find somebody that you can help serve. Invest in others. Teach them that church is a second home. The world is already pulling at them. I mean, social life is huge. Huge. I mean, I have a lady in my class, I lost her, and I'm so heartbroken over it. But the office life pulled on her so hard, and I'd call and say, you know, going to be in church tomorrow. And she said, no, you know, I didn't get home till late. And I finally nailed her. I said, ma'am, what are you doing? And she said, you know, the girls at work, they get together on Friday and Saturday nights, and we party. And I thought, what happened? How did I lose you? You know, where's your love for God? But the world is pulling on them. And the people they work with are pulling on them. Why do you do that? Come do this and have fun with us. And before you know it, you're in something you never thought you would be in. They're away from church, and she hasn't been in church in about 6 months now. I'm so grieved over it. Church is home to my family. For 28 years, it's been home. I love this place. My kids grew up here. They went to college. When Nicole was 18, she dated a boy that also grew up in this ministry. They've been best friends since kindergarten. And they started dating, and they just didn't seem to be good for each other. And we struggled, and Brother Schmidt struggled, and we tried to set rules for them and told them they couldn't date anymore, and they graduated from high school together. And he went to one college, and she came here, and the end of her spring of her last year of college, she ended up pregnant with Mike's baby. And in the midst of all of that, you know, you search your heart so much. You know, what did you're first, you're a failure. You know, you're a failure as mom. And the sad part is both our kids, we're both staff. So it's his mom. His mom's staff. So it was a real struggle. Did we fail? Could we have done things differently? Were we not strict enough? They grew up in this ministry. They grew up with the rules Brother Schmidt taught them and pastor taught them. But when you turn a certain age, they're accountable for themselves. And pastor had to really teach me to get through that part. But this is still home. And guess what? They're serving the Lord today here at the church. Because it's home. We gave them a place that they could say, we're not perfect people. And life is not perfect. And your scenario may not be your great ending that you're looking for. But this is the place you can find hope and stay and be connected. And church was second home to us. And praise the Lord, I've got three grandkids now. Two are Nicole's after all these years. Two are Nicole's. This is their second home. They're over there in the nursery watching your babies right now. My grandbabies are over there biting your grandbabies over there. They have to know the importance of Christian fellowship and what church is. And you will change their lives when the hard times come for them. They'll come back and they'll see, this is a place I can come to. As you saw all those many people who walked that platform that night, they found a place to belong. And even when life doesn't turn out right years later, it's still home. It's still the place to be. Get them involved in Christian activities. Now you're narrowing in on them. Okay, now they're here. They're attending classes. They're going to church. Now you got to get them involved. And that's where the stage of life thing changes, because my activities that we do aren't the activities that the 20 to 30 year olds are doing, you know. It's so funny. Probably 6 years ago, one of the biggest activities we had all of our ladies get together and play volleyball on the volleyball court. And we won every year. We whomped them. I had four show up this year for volleyball. We just can't do it anymore. We can't do volleyball. They're looking at me like, you want us to play volleyball again? So everything changes for activities, for stage of life. And so you have to find that for stage of life. But the key is you have to give them something. Danielle answered a question yesterday. They teach a singles class here. And she said, they just want to get together and eat. It'd be amazing how they, and I'm like, that doesn't work for my class, you know. they're homebodies at night, especially. You know, single women my stage of life, single women don't get out a lot like they like the young singles are doing. So it's different. You must involve them, though. Let me hurt. Prepare them for Christian service. Okay. They're attending class. They're faithful to church. You've got them grounded. They're doing good. You see changes in their life, and you think, okay, you know, they're doing good. We've got them involved in activities. Now let's take the next step. There's a place for you here. Find a ministry for them. Get them in discipleship. Let them grow. They can become disciplers. I've had many of my ladies who did discipleship who are now disciplers, they are teaching discipleship. And so now you find where to place them. If it's young babies, you know, tell them, would you love to work a nursery and rock a baby once a month? I do once a month nursery because I teach, so I do one once a month. But find a ministry for them. Now let's plug them in. Let's get them right there where we want them. Let's help them, prepare them for ministry and get them in. And then my last point is they must learn to trust God's will for their life. No matter what stage of life, young, single, divorced, widowed, God has a perfect plan for everybody. It's all different for everybody, but they must learn to trust that plan. Trust only comes with a relationship that is built day by day. You don't trust someone that you haven't built a relationship with because you don't trust them yet. And you cannot trust God with your life and to know what's perfect for you and your plan for your life unless you have built a daily relationship with him. And then it's easier to trust. Satan pulls pretty hard. But they've been grounded, and they now have a personal relationship with Christ. They will trust him. It says in Psalms 56, 4 and 5, "What time am I afraid? I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Oh, that's just awesome. You know, trust him. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Trust the Lord for your life. Psalms 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." That's what you want them to say. Their life is different. I've got poor Marie here. She's one of my brand new members. She's a recent widow. She's learning all over again. She's out here because her son lives here and her new grandbaby. And she's got a lot of changes in her life. We need to help them find that you just trust God. You let him lead you and direct you. He'll provide for you, but you must learn to trust him. Be prepared to be content single. I wish every scenario worked for every woman in life, but it doesn't. And they must be content. I was raised by a single mom. I never knew my dad. He was a military man. My mom and my dad divorced when I was 2. My sister was 4, and Becky was 5, and Sid was on the way. And my mom and dad separated. And when we separated and she came back home to live with her mom and dad, her mom had cancer, I never saw him again. He never wrote. He never contacted us. Never sent pictures, never sent child support or support of any kind. My mom could have gone after him. He was a military man, but she was done with him. And she raised 4 kids by herself with the help of my granddad, who played a big part of my life. And I remember asking her years later, "Mom, why didn't you ever remarry? Why did you stay single and raise us alone?" And she was very clear. She said, "I knew God's path for my life had changed. And my commitment was to the 4 children that he gave me. It was not to a relationship to satisfy myself." And later when we were grown, she had no desire to reconnect or remarry. She was content to be single. And I learned from that, I didn't learn it until later in life, of what that meant as a mom with 4 little bitty kids in the 60s, where it wasn't acceptable to be divorced. And yet she was content to trust God. We grew up in church every day of my life. She took us to church every week, after week, after week. She was faithful till the day she died. And I'm grateful for the heritage she gave me. But she learned to be content with whatever state God gave her. Whatever stage of life she was in, she was content with that. That God would provide for her, and he did. I look back over her life, and I can see now going, wow. You know, God did so much for us. I had no idea. You must teach them to be content where they are. They have to be. Because the world is ugly, and Satan wants them so bad to destroy that life. And he's already hurt and wounded them with divorces and relationships and all the things they've gone through. Let them know that they can be content just doing what they are with God's help. Last one, they must live Jesus' example. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Ooh, I love that verse. I just want to know Jesus. They need to know Jesus and the example that he lived. I have given unto you an example that ye should do, that ye should do as I have done. John 13:15. He gave them an example that they should live. For even unto you ye are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. They must live in Jesus' steps. Just live Christ's example. Just study the gospel and learn what Jesus did. Just let him see what everyday life for Christ was like. It was always about others. It was always about serving and doing something for others. He never thought of himself. And when there were times when he pulled away, he knew, I'm sure God told him he needed rest. But he was always thinking of others. If they'll just live Christ's example, praise the Lord. They're doing great. I have something I always read to them, but it's kind of like on a daily prayer for me. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven through Christ. I'm highly valuable, wanted, and important to God. God has great plans for my future. God will give me strength for today if I ask for it. I will honor God today with my actions. God, please be my best friend today. And please give me grace for today. If we would just pray that every day, we just miss so much stuff that comes our way. If we just start every day out with Jesus Christ, it would be just so much easier. This lesson is meant for single ladies, but it has touched my heart and convicted me, and I'm an old married grandma. It's not just for singles, is it? It's just a way to live our life as women, no matter if you're single or married or whatever. It's just basic, get to the heart of the matter. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I pray that you would just help encourage these women. We're so blessed that they come. I pray they've gleaned some wonderful thing to take home and not be discouraged and be encouraged. I pray for the services that we have tonight. Lord, the best is yet to come. Pray you'd give safety of those that will be traveling back to their homes and their churches. We're blessed that they've been with us. Bless this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.